Hello, this is Matt Schlick from the Matt Schlick Live podcast, where I defend the Christian faith and lay out our foundations of the truth of God's Word. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
Oh, welcome to Lantern Rescue, and we're lighting it up today, I'll tell you, with Lantern. As we've had this group in the studio, we've gotten to know the families that make up the team of Lantern Rescue that go in and do these, the tactical aspects of that. And actually, there's one of these that if you're the host and you've had a chance to spend time with all these different families that you're like, I'm wondering about this guy, you know, because everybody else seems quite vocal, but but then there's always the guy that you're like, I wonder what's going on behind the scenes there. So we've got TC and his wife, Lynn, and if you listened to the previous episode with the wives, oh my goodness, the story that Lynn told about her own, you know, an opportunity to minister to people involved in sex trafficking in Thailand, was it, Lynn?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What a story. So we may get into that a little bit more, but today we get to find out what's behind TC. So welcome, TC.
Hello.
And so, you know, I'm definitely curious of, you know, what goes into the background of how God was taking TC and maybe in your own salvation story or maybe in your occupation story, where do you think that training really began?
I've been saved for a long time, so part of my makeup, I think, was just never really liked the bully. I never really liked people who could not fend for themselves to be taken advantage of, even when I was young. I eventually got into law enforcement, and actually the organization I worked for, I was a sister organization to Alan's organization. So he was on the penal side. I was actually feeding people into his system. So,
really?
Yeah. We didn't know that until later.
So if you don't mind me asking, you know, my father hated a bully. To say that he hated a bully would almost be an understatement. And it was something I was brought up with because there was something in his story, the reason he hated a bully. And so I can't help but be curious, is there something in your own life that you experienced that?
No, actually, no. I really wasn't the bullied type. I just in either my DNA or God's given
so, like, DNA. I mean, can you imagine when you were 10 or 11 years old, you saw somebody being bullied and you jumped in?
Nope. No, can't say that. Sorry.
That's okay. No, I was just curious.
I grew up, the American Christian, which sometimes that's a great thing, and sometimes that's a little bit silver spoonish by maybe the world's standards. But I grew up great, had a great home, no abuse, no bullying, none of that. But it really, that kind of environment, the way I grew up, gave me a launch pad to do things that, I don't know. My dad used to say a couple things. It was kind of the same thing redundantly said, but he said, be sure you're right and go ahead, or it's always right to do the right thing. And so for me, that was the baseline to do things that were either scary or dangerous or out there by some people's standards. So I always moved forward with that. And so as a Christian and with those, that was my launch pad to do more.
So Lynn, how old were you guys when you met?
So it was our first year in Bible college. I would have been like 17.
And so is there a spaghetti story? You know,
No, we met on the basketball court. I was boxing him out, and he kind of thought that
was
awesome.
Are you serious?
And yeah.
I didn't know it was legal.
He's like, wow, she's
she can
like,
ball.
And I hadn't thought about how tall you are. You're out there rebounding.
Yeah. And people, when I first started dating him, they were like, why are you dating him? He looks so mean. Because he does kind of have that look.
He does.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
But honestly, he's a teddy bear. And that's why I think he has a heart for people. And you would never know that just looking at him until you get to know him. But in our family, he's the easygoing teddy bear, and I'm not.
Really?
I'm not the nice one. I know.
Yeah, he is the, you know, as I was saying, he was the one I was kind of wondering what's going on behind the, you know, the headlights there, the you know, if you're a car guy under the hood, you know, what's going on there?
He's a teddy bear.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, you know, you heard people talking about their testimonies, and at some point in time, your faith became real to you. It was no longer your father's faith. And so can you take us back to what that felt like for you in your life?
So I was saved super young, like five. If you can remember being five, I actually think about that sometimes. Do I really? So, and being young like that, I got saved, in quotes, I got saved about 1,000 times more. You know, I really, 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 really want to get saved. I really mean it this time. So I did a lot of that, but I never really had a falling away per se. Got through high school, went to Bible school, thought I was going to be a pastor for about a couple years. And I'm like, yeah, no, we're going to do the cop thing. So I jumped into law enforcement from there.
Yeah, which is a righteous kind of, you know, direction to go. And so when you were in your career, that similar to what you were talking about with Alan, did you see God's involvement at that point in that?
Yeah, I've never, my life is neither Christian nor secular. I don't have that dichotomy. Mine is it's a Christian life, and surely I do as all do. I sin and have many a weakness and things like that, but my job, my career was just my life, my Christian life. It's what I did. I loved it. So I was with parole. And so the actual, how that prepared me for what I'm doing now is I was more of a street rat, where Alan's crew was highly trained and synchronized and things like that. I had the training. We did building clearing, but I rolled with four or five guys. We dressed like schmucks, and we would hit houses and chase fugitives and run the streets and run into bars, which is a lot of what we do now. So I chased kids all over a certain city and arrested them and took them to jail.
All right. And so, Lynn, while this is going on, were you similar to Tammy, that you were thinking, you know, God made my husband for more than this? Or were you, do you think he was right in his calling?
I think he's right in his calling, yeah. Yeah. And when we first heard about trafficking, like I said, we knew we were going to do it somehow, some way, someday. And we're just waiting for the right time to pull the pin. And he was struggling to continue with a full-time job and be able to have enough time off to go out of country and rescue. So he was working constantly to get enough hours in to be able to take time off. And it was just hard on everyone because he was working so many hours. So he stopped his full-time job as of January 1st of this year. And
wow, that's a
stretch. That's,
what we that's
do
a courageous
now.
Move, I imagine, for your family.
Oh, yeah. I'm a planner, and I like, I'm the budget person. And so, yeah, I was like scared to death in a way. But God's grown my faith in ways I would have never learned, I think. And he's teaching me all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he is. He is. And so, TC, you saw your wife when she came home from her time. Was it Taiwan?
Thailand.
Thailand. They both start with Thai.
Yeah. You know what I'm Thailand.
I'm sorry. But so she came home from Thailand and like, oh my goodness, you saw what this did for her heart. Did that play into your, where you felt God was leading you, essentially what you saw at your wife's heart was?
We have, as a family, taken this on. We've adopted a couple girls. And so it's really the family's way. She went to Thailand, highly encouraged that. But she volunteers for two organizations here in the States where she does things to help them raise money and is supportive of anti-trafficking efforts right here in the States. So Lynn is doing a ton of things. Even just the stability of the home for our family, you know, we still have kids in the house, so the stability of all of that sometimes doesn't seem as glamorous as jumping on a plane, but the stability and the work that she does is nonstop. So
wow, I wasn't aware. Tell us about those children.
So we have two adult kids that are grown and married and have children, and we have two adopted girls from Ethiopia. So we've had them for 9 years, and I don't know. I guess we feel like they were in a failed adoption and needed a home right away. And so we feel like it was a rescue through adoption. Yeah. I mean, we met them on a Sunday, and Wednesday they were living with us. I hardly had time to get the room painted and figure out my life. And I had curly hair and all kinds of stuff coming into the house that I had no idea how to deal with. And it was quite a thing. It was quite a thing. But we love our girls. And yeah, they're awesome.
And so can you describe a little bit about your role now with these other organizations?
So I volunteer at events. I sell the jewelry and homemade goods that women out of the country make to earn a living so that they don't have to go back into that industry. So I do parties, dinners, benefit dinners, whatever I can do. I'm on the list to, they can call me. I take gifts to some of the girls that work in the local clubs.
Really? So what you did in Thailand where you were...
You can do it here. Yep. You can do it here.
You can do that here. Mm-hmm. And so is there an organization you do that with?
I do things with Peace Promise. I do things with She's Somebody's Daughter and Women at Risk International. Those three. So Peace Promise and She's Somebody's Daughter are both local to where we live. And they have different events that go on throughout the year. Yep.
That's wonderful. That's mm-hmm. just amazing. Well, I have a lady that I interviewed, what used to be a madam, and she ended up going to Turkey and getting involved in this huge drug deal, and she ends up in a Turkish prison. Somebody smuggles in a Bible. She gets converted, and then she now does that work where she goes into nightclubs because she understands at a level that, you know, of what really all the evil that's involved in that. And interestingly, there's evil on both sides that I wasn't aware of until I talked to her, that you have the evil of the men that are obviously taking advantage of the women, but the women are taking advantage of the men, often introducing them to drugs and stuff to get them hooked. So they just keep coming back for the deal. And so, you know, we've talked about the women trafficking. TC, have you guys run into where men were getting trafficked in some way or other?
Well, I've been to 5 countries to do the work. 4 of those I've rescued. And the first country I've been to a couple of times was Pakistan. And so that was more labor trafficking. We saw a little bit more than that. But basically, in effect, there were families, there were men there who were being trafficked. They were at least a part of a massive concerted effort to keep them enslaved. So in that sense, yes. Maybe not some. Maybe, I guess, one little boy in another country I've been to that was in probably the sex slave industry. Not as much.
There's a lot of evil out there. It's unbelievably... So we are going to be right back with more Land and Rescue. We're going to shine some lights with TC and Lynn. So stay tuned. We got so much more coming up. Land and Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operation, law enforcement, and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially. Welcome back to Lantern Rescue. Today we are blessed to have, again, the whole team with us in the studio, but specifically TC and his wife, Lynn. You know, getting an insight, getting a foundation of what God put together in his heart to rescue people from human trafficking. And so, you know, one of the stories that is just very intriguing to me that you heard in the first segment is TC reached this tipping point of, I'm going to quit my job. Like, what? And what I find fascinating as I'm listening to both sides of this story, if you're me, you're like, well, Lynn's the one who said that this friend came over and gave her this advice, but then can you kind of take us to that point, Lynn?
Yeah, we had friends that live in New York City and work with the homeless people there, and they had done something similar and just went and did it. And he said to us, "You guys have been standing on the edge of the table for years now, but you're not jumping off, and you're not, that's not faith. So you need to jump off the table and start doing what you know God wants you to do." And so I said to TC, "I'm fine with jumping off the table, but can we just know that you have a part-time job, a way to, before you quit your full-time job, can you just please have something?" And he didn't wait. He jumped off and I went with him, and so here we are.
So TC, obviously you have a side to that story. You were reading a book.
Yeah, I was. I was reading a book that was recommended to me by my brother called All the Places You Go by John Ortberg. And it's about open doors. And I've actually, in my Christian life, I've always struggled with the open door theology, because you can turn a door into an open or a closed and all kinds of cool things. But really, he brought it back to scripture and how, you know, Jesus talking to the churches in the beginning of Revelation, you know, said, "Look, here's things for you to do. Here's these opportunities." And so it was very, very clear to me to get my behind going in rescuing. And I was talking to a friend the other day, and he goes, "Look, man, you've always been a restless soul." He goes, "You're that guy. There's always something around the next bend, around the next corner," which sometimes drives Lynn crazy, but it's true. And so part of that restlessness is a God-given thing that I stopped worrying about, and we got going.
Wow. You know, it's once you, they say that when you burn the ships behind you, like, you know, you've landed, that there you go. Now you've done it. And I host another show called Kingdom Pursuits, and which is, how does God take your passion and use it to build a kingdom? And so many times I see somebody that's burned their ships and said, "Okay, God, this is what I feel like you put on my heart to go do. You know, here we go." And so here we are. We're 5 months into this adventure. So where are we at, really, Lynn? Where are we really at?
I can give you examples, because I started keeping a notebook, and my faith has never had to be tested. Like, we've always had a paycheck coming into the bank account. And so I started painting and cleaning to make money. And I enjoy painting. I enjoy cleaning. You don't have to be super smart to do it. But there's a lot of people who don't love painting or cleaning. So I've been shocked at, it's all word of mouth, and I just keep getting calls. And I quote a job, and I start to like people the minute I talk to them, and so then I don't quote them when I'm supposed to quote them, and I quote them way under, and they know that. And so when I'm done with the job, they say, "You know, here's an extra $1,000, because you really should have charged us $1,400 and you only charged us $400. And that kind of stuff happens all the time. Like, I'll think I'm going to make $200 and I make $7. And that's just God. That's just God doing that for us.
How about you, TC? What have you seen financially, you know, as a result, you jumped, and now where are you?
So it was said on one of the earlier shows that just because God calls us to something doesn't mean that it will be easy and simple, and it is not, nor is it supposed to be. Unfortunately, I think it's a bit of an American Christian idea that, you know, it should make sense and it should be a straight line and a clear path. But that's just not the case. It's not supposed to be the case, and so it hasn't been. You know, we got going early on, we were actually quite busy for a while, and then the new world, air quotes, pandemic that we find ourselves in has changed things. And I, at times, have been at least massively frustrated with what I'm able to do. I'm like, "Okay, God, did you not call me to do this?" And like, I'm supposed to get some kind of a special flyer to go around the world and do stuff. So I've had to rest in Jesus's control and way. And so I'm landscaping again by word of mouth. I'm doing work and it's been great, and I can come and go as I please with those organizations, which is hard to find to do. So God has it really. And one of the things God has said is, "What are you willing to do to rescue? Are you willing to give up the badge and pick up a shovel? Are you willing to do that in order to help people in bad places?" And so I have a zillion ton of ego that God's trimming off. And so it's continuing to get trimmed.
Wow. Yeah, it is. And I, having experienced his, you know, handiwork with the scissors, it's... you know, the beauty of it, though, obviously, if you could see their eyes, which I can, is you can see, you know, that they've seen something. God has shown them something, you know, in the hearts of the people. And you know, can you go back to the scene in the bar with the pole dancers, and there's the madam, and can you kind of take us back in there, Lynn, and share with us what you saw?
Well, I thought the madam would be angry at us for having the girls come down and not working, but she was actually right over there with us and wanted her gift bag as well, and we put lotion on her hands and feet as well. And she was just older and past her prime, so she couldn't, that's not how she earned money anymore. So I just feel like no matter how old you are or where you've been in life, you just, somebody, they just want someone to love them. So she just, she wanted hugs as well. And we bought drinks for everybody, Cokes and whatever, and spent money so that she wouldn't get in trouble and just showed love. That's what we did.
Yeah. Again, our battle is not against flesh and blood. And it's so hard to keep that in mind, that these people are deceived in so many different prisons that we can get ourselves into. And like Mark said in that one episode, that, you know, only by the grace of God, I don't find myself entrapped in some of the stuff that these people have. But, you know, only you have your stories, TC. And so I'm wondering, because I just love asking questions like this, if when you're on the street going after parolees, do you remember a time that, like, God clearly said, this one's from me, TC?
My story that actually made me famous or infamous, depending on which side of the community you were in or I worked, a buddy and I were out one night looking for an absconder. He was selling dope, and he was all strapped. He had a gun strapped up, as we would say. We rolled up. He was actually on a corner talking to somebody, and my partner and I got out, and we kind of had him cornered. Well, he got in a car, and he was going to drive away. So I stepped in front of the car to keep him from leaving. And he put it in drive and started bumping my knees, and he was going to run me over. So I jumped on the hood of the car, and he took me 3 blocks at about 50 miles an hour before I could get off. So that was, that kind of made the news there. And that was a thing for a while.
I've seen that on Starsky and Hutch, I'm pretty sure.
Interestingly enough, my partner and I were actually called at in the place where I worked. So yeah, it was.
So I'm just picturing this scene, right? You're holding on for dear life, and he's obviously, you know, did he get apprehended? I mean, we got to know what happened.
Well, I honestly, this probably isn't great for Christian. I was going to shoot him, but I was actually on the car.
I'm thinking every listener here can see why. Yeah.
At the time, I was appendix carrying my gun, so I was actually laying on my pistol, and every time I would go to reach for it, he would shake the wheel. I mean, we're literally like,
oh,
we're,
yeah,
18
you're
inches
at it right
apart.
In the face,
oh,
yeah.
We're literally face to face. He finally stopped, let me off, and then we actually caught him later. He actually spit in my face right before the arrest. But yeah, we got him. He's still in the federal penitentiary.
So let me get this over the field. Oh my goodness. He stops and let you off. What does that feel like? Like, okay, you get off now. I mean, what do you mean he stopped and let you off?
He literally stopped 3 or 4 blocks later. My partner had commandeered a car. He was trying to catch us. He was yelling at me, you know, so to do something. I won't say what. But anyways, we were actually trying to track it. We had reconvened, got more law enforcement. We were going to get him. He actually showed up, and we did what we do after that.
And then he spits in your face.
Correct.
And so what did God have for you at that moment? Really?
Handcuffs.
Well, that's true. You know, you get the unbridled truth here on Lantern Rescue.
Interestingly enough, so the twist in that story was this. His family accused me of being prejudiced because of all of that, which I thought was incredulous. And I actually got investigated because of those claims to my employer, which I got exonerated and things like that. But, you know, as has been said, just because you're doing the right thing doesn't mean that it's simple or easy. It's just, it's not supposed to be that way. And it isn't.
So Lynn, he comes home that night and, honey, you're not going to believe what happened to Do you remember that night?
I remember all of that happening. And I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, I was picturing the whole thing in my head. Yeah, I was glad he didn't get run over, so he had to jump on the car. So,
yeah?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
So what are you going to do?
I was glad he could hold on. I don't know.
So if you're listening, you can see that there's a certain amount of bravery that comes with faith. Like, wow, if you're going to step off and take this on for real, it's going to take courage. And you can hear how God maybe has been welling that up in the team of Lantern Rescue. And so, you know, what does that look like in my life? You know, God, what do you want me to, you know, step off the table, as Lynn put it? You know, how is it that I can engage? Clearly, we know we can be engaging in prayer for TC, Lynn, you know, and the entire Lantern Rescue team. But what does the rest of that look like? It's an amazing thing to go on these adventures with God, and it won't be easy. But Ben, I can assure you, it'll be exciting. It brings life. It brings life. And so remember, you know, the website's lanternrescue.org. We're so grateful for you listening today and letting us take us all on these adventures to see where God has taken us to rescue those who need our help.
This is the Truth Network.